way we have to live here in this country. Marching on wars we fight, driving about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting and I'm talking down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side of me. The guy who claims he just don't believe in fight. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They live on milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking side of me, running down the way of life, I'm fighting and fought and dying. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be warned. When you run it down my country, man, you walking on the crack beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on altrighttv.com or whitebusinessradio.com. Well, lots more views and views for our people. Of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, lots more news and views for our people. I hardly know where to begin. I was looking over a piece of, I guess you'd call it, information or propaganda from the city of Toronto today, and there were a picture of six people, I guess illustrative of the population of Toronto, and there were four non-whites and two whites. Well, that may be the direction our new and happy lords would like to take us in, but that is not a fair representation of Toronto today. Now, the figures are roughly 52% from the third world and 48% European. But it's not 4-2. Now, that's the way they'd like it to be, but that's not what it is. It's as if advertising actually wants to show you not the world that it is, more that is more or less, but the world, the dystopia that they'd like to take us to. I was looking at the front page of today's Toronto Star. And according to the Star, there's been an upsurge in shootings and gun violence in Toronto since the city's been locked down because of the Wuhan flu or the coronavirus pandemic scare or hysteria. I found it interesting. There were five photos of victims of shootings. Four were black males, and one was a Sri Lankan female. Well, you know, what takeaway do you maybe what have from all this? Well, for one thing, the color of violent crime in Toronto is black. Blacks constitute about around 7% of the population of the city, but account for over 75% of what are defined as violent crimes. Those are murder, attempted murder, and rape, and armed robbery. Now, granted, these are victims, but rather than the perps, we don't seem to know who the perps are. But I looked at that and thought that, with the possible exception of the Sri Lankan woman, this is usually a matter of blacks killing blacks over perhaps being disrespected in their own opinion, or a drug deal gone wrong, or one being a member of a gang and on the wrong side of the city block, or whatever. The gun violence that gets so much attention in the media and from our leftist politicians is almost entirely in Toronto black violence, and mostly black on blacks, thank heavens. The Sri Lankan woman, here again, I'm speculating. My guess, it's a case of domestic violence, right? Because women are not usually victims of in these shootings. Anyway, kind of a little take life in the big ugly. I was fascinated to see a video that was sent my way of two burly German police wrestling a man to the ground and apparently beating him at a supermarket in Germany. His crime? He was not wearing a mask. Well, were the policemen wearing masks? Well, no. Typical of the totalitarian do as I say, not as I do, which we have seen so much of during this Wuhan flu pandemic. I read a lot of corporate reports that come my way, shareholders reports or annual reports, and I must say that some of them just make me sick. All the far left cultural Marxist nonsense that has perpetrated the upper echelons of these corporations. This is from the 2019 Management Information Circular from AECON, A-E-C-O-N, which is one of Canada's biggest and oldest engineering construction firms. Okay, so you'd think this is a fairly practical, hands-on sort of thing. Well, here's some of the nonsense from the report to shareholders among their goals. Gender expression. The corporation is committed to providing its employees an inclusive environment, free of harassment, regardless of their sexual orientation, gender identity, or expression. International human rights principles are clear that every person has the right to define their own gender identity. A person's self-defined gender identity is one of the most basic aspects of self-determination, dignity, and freedom. The corporation treats all individuals whose gender identity is different from their birth assigned sex according to their lived gender identity with dignity, respect, and equal opportunities. Blah, blah, blah. In my judgment, and this is the judgment of many psychiatrists, people with gender identity problems are mentally ill. It may not be their fault, who knows, but you've got to wonder how effective or valuable an employee is who can't get their own gender right. Anyway, the company, though, treats them all equally. Indigenous engagement. That's a Native Indians. The corporation is dedicated to a comprehensive, collaborative, Canada-wide approach to Indigenous engagement. ACON's Indigenous strategy supports the inclusion, engagement, and participation of Indigenous communities by acting as a responsible and respectful business partner, working side by side with community leaders and members in creating and nurturing mutually beneficial relations. Well, if they mean that where proper, that they will deal with local Indian tribes and try to include them and give them job opportunities, if that's all it means, I don't have any objection to that. But the diversity and inclusion strategy. You wonder, do people actually pull down high-paying jobs to design this stuff and write it? You wonder. You know, the company, you might have forgotten, is not some sort of social justice warrior enterprise, but is a construction company. So diversity and inclusion, to accelerate the development of diverse leaders and strengthen ACON's succession bench, the corporation developed a diversity and inclusion strategic plan. What about building roads or building buildings or maybe something like that? ACON's diversity and inclusion vision statement leverages ACON's diverse and inclusive workforce as a key business strategy. So it's diverse and inclusive. I wonder if you announced that you were a believing Christian and did not believe in interracial marriages, would you still be included? I don't know. In some places, though, I would have my doubts. The DI Council, now what's that? That's the Diversity and Inclusion Council. Do they ever get any time to build things? That may be one of the reasons that the stock of ACON is down over 20% this year. You know, maybe if they did some more building and a little less inclusion. Let's see, what does the DI do? As part of the diversity and inclusion strategic plan, the Diversity and Inclusion Council, that's the DI Council, was launched in 2015. The DI Council is part of ACON's key business strategy to build an organization that attracts top talent and optimizes employees' engagement and performance. Okay, well, no problem with that. The DI Council's objectives are, one, to promote workforce diversity by recruiting a diverse, qualified group of potential applicants to secure a high-performing workforce drawn from all segments of the Canadian landscape. Why must it be diverse? Why not just stop with a qualified group of potential applicants? Second, workplace inclusion by cultivating a culture that encourages collaboration, flexibility, understanding, and fairness to enable individuals to contribute to their full potential, engagement, and retention. After a while, your eyes begin to close. There's only so much platitudes and just, quite frankly, bullshit you can put up with. Oh, my God. As I say, you have to remember that the ACON is really all about engineering and building. It's a building, a major construction company. And you kind of struggle to figure out what does all that have to do with diversity? Well, you might ask, and perhaps more effort were directed to the what is often called the core business. Perhaps the shares would be doing a bit better than they are. Well, my friend Brian Rue is a gentle Buddhist. He is a tremendous videographer, and he now has almost 2,000 videos up. He has a BitChute channel, so that's BitChute Brian Rue. And he's recently come under fire, not for the first time, from the Antifa, the radical anti-free speech characters. In Vancouver. Now, there's a cycle shop that has put up a poster which has appeared elsewhere of him, and I'm going to take you to that right now. It's a poster. Well, it has a picture of Brian with two arrows pointing to his face, neo-Nazi, and the poster is "Know Your Local Neo-Nazi." And this is a video that Brian made today telling the story. Which we hope will play for us. Poster of neo-Nazi Brian Rue posted in bicycle shop.
Welcome to Brian Rue's show. It's May the 3rd, 2020. I'm in front of a bicycle shop at Broadway and Main in Vancouver. They have a photograph of me right on the till of the shop saying, "Know Your Local Neo-Nazi Brian Rue," which I've shown in other videos. So this shop is run by known communists, leftists. So I'll try and zoom in the clothes right now. We'll try and zoom in and show you. You can see it right there. There it is right there. See? Know Your Local Neo-Nazi. Neo-Nazi, Brian Rue. He hangs out at Robson Square, Vancouver Public Library. So look at that. Oh, it's right on the computer, right by the till where people buy things. So take a look at this leftist bicycle shop. Take a good look around, folks. There you have it. And the police, I phoned the police about this about 10 days ago. So they know. There it is. Know Your Local Neo-Nazi, Brian Rue. This is at 2429 Main Street. This is the place. I see it from the street. Here it is. It's called Pedal Society, Our Community Bikes. So you get a leftist pedal society. It's right beside the rag machine. That's written in the middle. There it is, folks. Street at Broadway Avenue in Vancouver, BC, Canada. So this poster of me has been here for months. An informant came to my apartment, told me about this months ago, and you can see the first video I made about this. There was a poster of me at first discovered at 12th Avenue and Commercial Drive in East Van, a couple miles east of here. And the police phoned me about 2 weeks ago saying now more have shown up near the Pacific National Exhibition Grounds in East Vancouver. But, I mean, like I say, you know, I'm upset about this. I feel this is a defamation. It's advocating violence against me. It's a negative thing. It's advocating violence. That's wrong. I'll also say, the only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about. They give me free publicity. I'm constantly trying to promote the name Brian Rue on BitChute, Brian Rue channel on YouTube, Brian Rue.ca on the internet, and they're advertising for me. Thank you. I'll leave the rest up to the Davis. So please like, subscribe, donate to Brian Herb's show. And on BitChute, please click on my picture on the top right and scroll down to receive playlists. I've got over 24 playlists for you. So the 2,000 videos are nicely organized, and you're not going to really have access to them without these playlists. Okay, folks, see you next video.
And that was on the Brian Rue channel. Just go to BitChute Brian Rue, and that's B-R-I-A-N, Rue spelled R-U-H-E. Brian Rue, videographer. Well, sometimes issues arise that leave you, how is it said nicely, conflicted. Last week, the Toronto Star broke a story about Brendan Leipzig, and he's a journeyman hockey player. He's certainly not a star, but he's with the Washington Capitals. And the story goes thus: there's a debate underway in the hockey world. What kind of discipline should be imposed on Brendan Leipzig, the one-time Toronto Maple Leaf and current Washington Capitals forward, who's emerged as the sideline sports social media focal point this week? The 25-year-old Leipzig is one of a handful of hockey players now being seen in an unflattering light because of contents of their leaked group chat. Now, another one was Jack Rodvold of the Florida Panthers. Now, this chat group is a chat group among several hockey players. It's private. The contents were leaked. We're not sure by who, or he's not sure by whom. And you know, that's, if not an outright criminal matter, it's certainly pretty reprehensible. Okay, well, what's the big deal about the content? Well, the content is pretty lewd. Now, the ever so prissy Toronto Star says most of the content would be too lewd for a newspaper. Well, maybe too lewd for them. Leipzig apparently talks about the very favorably about cocaine. And but what really got politically correct in a huge uproar was the rather vulgar, actually quite vulgar, comments made by Leipzig and others in the chat about a number of women. the comments are pretty vulgar. And particularly negative about women who are fat. There's a lot of fat shaming and so on. Now, okay. So this has become a big issue. What to do about Leipzig? And Rosewald. This is what happened. Immediately, the National Hockey League denounced him. And I'll try to get the exact quotation. They describe this as reprehensible and inexcusable behavior, and indicating that further actions would be taken by the clubs. Well, by the next day, Brendan Leipzig is no longer a player with the NHL. He was put on waivers, which means basically he's dropped from the team. Uh, what troubles me about this is that guys will be guys, especially young men, you know, physically aggressive young men in the prime of their sexual hunting days tend to, when they get together, perhaps fueled by a drink or two, talk perhaps disparagingly of some women, boast about their sexual conquests or kills and so on. Now, and speak in a way that I'm sure they would not speak in front of their girlfriends, or their wives, or their mothers, or their grandmothers. We all know that happens. Sometimes it's called jock talk. If you ask me, do I approve? Well, not really. I don't. Well, let's just say that type of talk doesn't show a young man at his best. A lot of it, I believe, is bravado. When I was in university, a good friend of mine, a political ally, spent a summer working up at in the mines in Thompson, Manitoba. And I guess the young fellows lived in something like a barracks. And every Saturday they'd go into town. So come Monday morning, sometimes they would be talking about what they did on the weekend. And he told me about another young fellow, probably a university student as well, who every Monday morning would come back with tall tales of his sexual conquests over the weekend. And finally, after several of these Monday mornings, an old grizzled miner turned to him and said, "Son, your next time will be your first time." In other words, a lot of the sexually explicit boasting, at least according to this old miner, was bravado, nonsense. Boasting, just that. Talking tough. Now, again, I'm of two minds about this. It happens. And hopefully, young men who behave like this grow out of it and realize, I should, first of all, I should treat women properly, and then secondly, I should speak well of them, or not speak at all. I think it comes with maturing. Now, what I find very bad about this is that what was a limited issue, a conversation, a chat among several hockey players, as private, you know, it's like talking in a bar. Well, suddenly this private conversation is somehow hacked and made public. And what's the reaction? Well, at least according to several of the chattering heads on radio the other day, this man's life is ruined. Or I should say, his hockey career is ruined. I don't know if that's true, but certainly as he was only a journeyman, he is not a star. His chances of being snapped up or rehired are, at least according to these people, rather poor. Now, what type of world have we created, or allowed to be created, where the price of a private comment is your career? According to the chattering heads, they did not think that Mr. Leipzig would have a career in hockey again, not be able to be hired. So what is this young man's career at this stage of his life? It might well be the career that he would have for most of his life, going on from perhaps hockey player to coach to or commentator or scout, has gone up in flames. For what? For what crime? Did he beat somebody up? Did he rape somebody? No. he made some vulgar comments privately to several other guys, and somehow these comments got leaked. I would say there's a number of potential targets for criticism. One would be, who leaked it? Who took a private conversation? You know, sometimes people say things that they'd rather not be made public because they're not public. You know, sometimes when couples fight, they say some pretty horrible things to each other, which hopefully they regret soon after and make up. But these are private. Most of these arguments take place in the bedroom or the kitchen. And if they're not out there on the, let's say, on the front yard for all the neighbors to see and hear, I think most people would agree that it would be wrong if somebody were perhaps somehow able to tape the conversation and then spread it around, put it out on the internet. You know, people say things in many circumstances that they don't want made public. And that's part of the right to privacy. You and I have the right to have a conversation. And I may say some pretty over-the-top things to you. Things I would not say in public. And you may say the same sort of things to me. And they're between the two of us. That's what a private conversation is. And sometimes we act differently in private than we would in public. And maybe that's a good thing. I'm pretty sure that Brendan Leipzig is sufficiently well brought up that he wouldn't be using foul or dirty language about women at Mother's Day in front of his mom. Why? Well, because we we behave differently in public than in private. And that's not necessarily a matter of hypocrisy. Would Mother really be happy if he were to, at the dinner table on Mother's Day, talk about overweight women and how disgusting they are? I don't think so. I remember going through, when I was in university, we had a lot of American kids from Rochester, New York, who came up to St. Michael's College because their final year in those days was grade 12. In Canada, we had grade 13, so they were able to come up after grade 12 to first year university. And a fair number of them did. Well, one fellow was telling me and several other guys that his older brother had been in Vietnam. This is, of course, I was at St. Michael's College from 1966 to 1970. That was the time as the Vietnam War was heating up. Well, anyway, sometime during that period, his brother had been, was in the, I believe, the U.S. Army, had been to Vietnam and came back and after a tour of duty and was really quite hyper and had a very foul mouth that he developed in the Army. And he did not, apparently, always keep the F words and the other words out of the conversation at supper. And at one point, apparently, his own father stood up and whacked him across the head and said, "You're not going to use that type of language in front of your mother and your sisters." And, you know, there's a certain degree of wisdom to this. We have many faces. That doesn't necessarily mean we are two-faced or hypocritical. Men and women sometimes speak very differently in private with each other than they do in public. I was, again, going back to my university years, I know of a a woman whose, I guess, older sister had given birth. And when the older sister came back and told of her hospital experience, she said that there's a hospital that had a fair number of Italians patients, and several women screaming out in the agonies of childbirth that they would never let that pig touch them again, their husband, which presumably was not their final thought on the matter. And you know, most would go on to go back to their husbands, and when they healed and feeling better, again make love and perhaps have other children. Point being that what is said in private circumstances should not be made. First of all, there's something sleazy about leaking these remarks. To what end? To what end? To prove that boys will be boys with themselves? Well, it's not a particularly profound point. I suspect it was leaked with exactly the result in mind, by somebody who wished to hurt these hockey players, particularly Brendan, knowing that when this became public, in these terribly broken, feminist, politically correct times, that the National Hockey League would have to say something, and perhaps even the team would have to say something and do something. What they should have said is this. These were private conversations. We don't approve of the sentiments, and as they were not made publicly, they were not made on behalf of the team, we consider this a private matter. That's what should have been said. And similarly, the team should have taken the same approach. Really, what Brendan and others, the players, do on their own time is their own business. And that distinction should be made. It's not today. And I've had a discussion earlier this week on exactly the same matter with my good friend, the citizen reporter, Brad Love, up in Fort McMurray. And the conclusion we came to was, this is a new form of slavery. Now, up until relatively recently, your employer was entitled to your attention, dedication, and diligence for roughly 8 hours a day, for which you were compensated with wages or a salary. Your employer didn't own you. What you did on those other 16 hours, whom you slept with, what you said, or even if you got drunk and disorderly, provided you came to work, fit to work, that was your business. Your employer was entitled to 8 hours a day of your life. He was not entitled to rule your whole life. That's slavery. That is a form of slavery. And yet, under political correctness, cultural Marxism, more and more that's the case. If you do something on your own time that is disapproved of by cultural Marxists, or the politically correct, if you like, the radical feminists, the white-hating anti-racists, your employer all too often is prepared to toss you under the bus and fire you. In other words, you are held accountable for 24 hours a day. You're not an employee, you're a slave. And that is part of the reality that comes back to the battles that we're so dedicated to. One is free speech. Now, I don't approve of talking about women in the vulgar manner that, that he and his pals did. It was done privately, and you know, the fact is boys will be boys. Just like I've heard women privately talk about sex in a way that would often make some men blush. But they're talking among the girls. Now, the only reason I know it is because some women have told me what they or other women said privately. They don't, though, say that at the supper table or at a family gathering or on radio. In other words, it's private. And you know, the right to privacy is one I think we've fought hard for and cherish. And in this case, Brendan Leipzig's right to privacy, which was violated. This was a private online chat with several other hockey players. He had every reason to expect this was private. And somebody, and we're not told who, hacked it or somehow got hold of it and leaked it to cause mischief. Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, here's a guy who, famous for his strong opinions, Hank Williams Jr., of course, the son of the great Hank Williams. Hank Williams Jr., and hope you like this medley of his songs, beginning with A Country Boy Can Survive. Well, I think that's what we're getting.
My figure. Thank you.
of the sea.
Hank Williams Jr., this is Paul Fromm. You're on The Fighting Side of Me here on AltRightTV.com or White Resistance Radio. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on The Fighting Side of Me.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, would the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf. forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. Be